Good morning. This is Abby with your daily Berlin briefing for Tuesday, August 16th, 2022. A government gas surcharge that would presumably cause enormous additional costs for millions of customers starting in the autumn is now certain. The joint venture of gas network operators announced the exact amount of the surcharge yesterday. It amounts to 2.419 cents per kilowatt hour for all consumers. Consumers will therefore see, depending on the size of their apartment or house, several hundred euros in additional costs per year due to the surcharge alone. In addition, the energy price has also risen enormously, which is why many customers are threatened with price increases of more than 100% when they sign a new contract with their gas supplier. The charge is intended to benefit gas suppliers who have to acquire a suitable substitute at high prices for the lack of cheaper gas from Russia. The exact amount of the charge has been calculated by the market area manager Trading Hub Europe, a joint venture of gas beginning of October. It will not be immediately visible on bills, but rather with a slight time delay, according to the Ministry of Economics. For consumer protection reasons, there are notice periods of 4 to 6 weeks in the Energy Industry Act that must be adhered to. Therefore, the levy will probably be shown on the bills for the first time in November and December. The Ministry of Economics sees the surcharge as a consequence of the Russian war of aggression against Ukraine. This has drastically aggravated the already tense situation on the energy markets. Since mid-June, Russia has reduced its gas imports to Germany in an unpredictable manner, thus creating an artificial energy shortage and driving up the prices. This, quote, external shock is particularly affecting Germany, which has been heavily dependent on cheap gas from Russia. And many gas supplies from Russia, which had previously been contractually guaranteed, are no longer available. It is still unclear whether the value-added tax, or the VAT, will be payable on the gas levy. Although the German government wants to prevent this, it is not easy from a legal point of view. Per the Ministry of Finance, such exceptions are not provided for in European law. However, Finance Minister Christian Lindner has asked for an exception at EU level. In a letter to EU Finance Commissioner Paolo Gentiloni, Lindner asked him to use his right of initiative and allow EU states not to impose VAT on government levies in the energy sector for a while. Chancellor Scholz has assured German citizens of additional relief in view of the sharp rise in energy prices, and he said that no one would be left alone. The shutdown of nighttime lighting on public buildings and landmarks in Berlin, which began at the end of July, is making progress, according to the Environmental Administration. In response to a query from the DPA, it said that a good 100 buildings are now no longer illuminated. As Berlin Briefings previously reported, the aim is to save electricity in the face of an impending energy crisis. Back on July 27th, Environmental Senator Bettina Jarasch had announced the shutdown of the nighttime lighting. However, it has since emerged that this is not possible for all of the structures in question. And after the consultation with the Interior and Environmental Administration, some buildings will remain illuminated, including the Jewish Museum, the New Synagogue, the Soviet Memorial in Tiergarten, and the District Court on Tegeler Weg. By the end of August, the process of switching off should be largely completed, however. As there is no central control system, technicians will have to disconnect each individual source from the grid manually, and individual adjustments may still be necessary after the expected completion date. This applies, for example, to spotlights on bridges that can only be reached from the water. According to the Environmental Administration, the power consumption for the illumination of the buildings, which include the Siegessäule, the Berliner Dom, the Gedächtniskirche, Schloss Charlottenburg, the Staatsoper, and the Anhalter Bahnhof, is about 150 to 200,000 kilowatt hours per year. At current prices, that amounts to costs of 40,000 euros a year. As of yesterday, passengers of the U1, U2, and U3 lines must expect considerable restrictions due to construction work on the tracks of the three lines, expected to last until November 6th. Extensive construction began yesterday at the Gleis Dreieck station in Kreuzberg, and because of this, there will be changes on the U1, 2, and 3 lines in the next few months. In three construction phases, the elevated tracks will be overhauled, a transfer track between the U1 and U2 will be completed, and the interior renovation of the tunnel near the Wittenbergplatz station will be continued. In the first phase, which will last until September 18th, the U2 will only run between Pankow and Gleis Dreieck, while the U3 will run as usual between Krumelanke and Warschauerstrasse. The U12 is also back in service and will operate from the Warschauerstrasse station via Gleis Dreieck to Ruhleben. The stations between Wittenbergplatz and Uhlandstrasse will be accessible by bus lines M19 and M29. Construction work will then pause from September 19th to the 25th, and the U2 and 3 will run as usual, and the U1 will run between Gleis Dreieck and Warschauerstrasse. The second phase will start on September 26th and is expected to end on October 27th, during which time the U1, 2, and 3 will run as they did in the first construction phase. The only difference is that the U2 trains will commute every 10 minutes between Gleis Dreieck and Potsdamer Platz. And in the third and final phase, from October 28th to November 6th, construction work will be carried out on the U1 and U3 tracks in the area of the Gleis Dreieck station. The U1 will run between Warschauerstrasse and Gleis Dreieck during this time, and the U3 will run between Krumelanke and Nollendorfplatz. Train service at the Kurfürstenstrasse station will be suspended, and trains on the U2 will operate on the usual route between Pankow and Ruhleben. And due to interior tunnel renovations near Wittenbergplatz station, the U1 will then only operate between Warschauerstrasse and Gleis Dreieck until December 22nd. A former operator of corona testing centers in Berlin has denied the accusations brought against him during his fraud trial, amounting to millions. The defense attorney for the 46-year-old, to whom the public prosecutor's office attributes 18 test centers, said that his client had initially operated 2 test centers and later only 1, and that the allegation that he had named other people as operators to authorities in order to conceal his responsibility was emphatically denied. The 46-year-old's sister, who was also a defendant, remained silent. The defendants are alleged to have billed the Berlin Association of Statutory Health Insurance Physicians for corona tests between May of 21 and February of 22, which were not provided at all or not in the specified number. And according to the indictment, the man is said to have swindled about 9.7 million euros, the woman about 2.5 million, and more than 6.6 million was forwarded to an account in Turkey. The main defendant's defense attorney said that his client, quote, committed no fraud and obtained no money unlawfully, unquote, and added that the state was accused of a very significant failure in connection with the test centers and that controls had not been exercised. The 46-year-old defendant, who is said to have operated numerous Spätis and other businesses in Berlin, is accused of 67 acts, and his co-defendant's sister must answer for aiding and abetting. The siblings were arrested at the end of March during searches of apartments and testing stations in the Hauptstadt. If you like our podcast, you can support us with a donation or simply help others discover us by liking and sharing our episodes on social media. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.